This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Suffered defeats. And we're going to talk about it. The thing that is important is, how do you react when something bad happens? What is your response to defeat? That is actually what we're going to focus on. The response to defeat of the Prophet ﷺ. Like, how did he act out? Did he act out in a manner where he was extremely angry and frustrated and he was just blaming people left, right, and center? Or did the Prophet ﷺ act in a really gracious manner, in a manner that encouraged change? You see, that we're going to talk about that. And then the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Imran. These are the three main things we will do, inshallah ta'ala, today. But before we do these three main things, yes, people, we are going to recap the battle of Uhud. People, are you with me? Remember Uhud? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. We are going to recap the battle of Uhud, inshallah ta'ala. Let me just try to find something here. Oh no. Done. All right. So, let us go. I'm going to show you the Kahoot, or the link for the Kahoot, inshallah. Let us get started with that. The interesting thing about the battle of Uhud that is underrated is how many times the Muslims could have won despite all the mistakes. Oh, hold on. There we go. Okay, can you guys join this Kahoot, please? Let's recap the battle with this Kahoot, and then we'll go from there. Let us do that quickly. Very good. You gotta open a different tab and then join in from there, yeah? Try again, please. The code is 505-6197, yeah? Okay. All right. So, I'm going to wait. There you are. I'm going to wait for a few more people to join in, and then we will get started. Okay. Let us get going, shall we? Yes? Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Recap of Surah Al-Imran from the Battle of Uhud.
Number question.
All right. The first major battle that the Prophet fought against his enemies was... which one? The correct answer is the Battle of Badr. That was the first battle that the Prophet ﷺ fought against his enemies. And they actually won that battle. Alhamdulillah, that was a victory for the believers. All right, next one. The second major battle that the Prophet ﷺ fought against his enemies was... the correct answer is the Battle of Uhud. Yes, indeed. Battle of Uhud was the second battle that he fought against his enemies. And that's the one we'll discuss at length today. All right. Third question. The third major battle that the Prophet ﷺ fought against his enemies was... What do you think? The correct answer is the Battle of the Trench. Yes, alhamdulillah. Badr was the first one. Uhud is the second. The Trench is the third. Trench known as Al-Khandaq, a very famous battle. These are the three most important battles in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. We should know about them. Okay. Next question. Oh, we have a close game at the top here. Mashallah.
Al-Khandaq, the one of the harder ones for us.
Correct.
For the Prophet.
That's correct. What is Uhud? Uhud is a type of food, a country, a city, or a mountain. Uhud, of course, is a mountain. Yes, this is not a country. It is a mountain that is outside the city of Medina. All right. Next question. Was Uhud a defeat for the Muslims? No or yes? Excuse me. The answer actually is Uhud was a defeat. Yes, you guys are split on the decision here. And as we'll see, unfortunately, Uhud was a defeat. The Muslims ended up retreating. They ended up losing a lot of their family members. So it unfortunately ended up as a defeat. And this is the thing. We sometimes, like if the Prophet ﷺ only ever won, right? If the Prophet ﷺ only won in his life and never lost, then in reality, his life would be something that we couldn't aspire to. You know why? Because we would never be able to live in a situation where we never lose. So we have to learn how to deal with loss through the example of the Prophet ﷺ. That's a very, very important part. If the Prophet's life was like perfect and had no problems and everything was just divinely inspired and everything was set by Allah, that he would be like an angel. We couldn't follow him. But he ﷺ was a human being. He went through good times and bad times, victories and losses. And we learn from every one of those things. And that's why he is the role model for us, the best role model. All right. Next question. We have, how large was the original Muslim army? Original is the key word there. What do you think, people? 1,000, 300, 700, or 10,000? The original Muslim army was 1,000 people. Correct. Alhamdulillah. In the Battle of Badr, there were 314, roughly 300. But in Uhud, there were 1,000. Okay. Now, that's not a very large army, by the way. It's a very small army. The army of the people of Mecca was much larger in size. It was about 2.5 times larger in size. So it was a very difficult battle, as is. But then a group of hypocrites turned around and left. And how many were left after the hypocrites left? How much of the army was left after these hypocrites had left the battlefield? What do you think, people?
Wait, so the hypocrites were like in the army and then they said, we don't want to fight. They were like in the Muslim army?
That's correct, right? They were in the Muslim army. They were like, we don't think there's going to be any fighting today. So we are going to get up and leave. That's what they said. They're like, if you don't think there's any battle today, لَوْ نَعْلَمُ قِتَالًا لَتَّبَعْنَاكُمْ. If we thought there's going to be any fighting, we would be here. We wouldn't leave you, right? But we don't think there's going to be any fighting whatsoever. So we are just going to get up and leave. Isn't that like just very, very sad?
Mean.
Very mean too, yes? Okay, so yes, that's the correct answer. It was only 700. About a third of the army had left. And that is a very, very tricky situation for the Prophet ﷺ. All right. Next question. Oh, Ali has dropped from the top. No, Ali. Who was the chief hypocrite? Let's see if you can remember his name. I made the question easy, though, so you can figure out even if you don't know his name.
Hmm.
The chief hypocrite was called Abdullah ibn Ubay. Yes, that was his name. Of course, Abu Bakr Siddiq is one of the greatest Sahabi, and the second greatest Sahabi is Umar. So they're not the answers. The answer is Abdullah ibn Ubay. He was the chief hypocrite. He was the one who said, "Hey guys, I don't think there's any fighting. Let's all turn around and go back home." SubhanAllah, very tough. And then, don't move even if you see vultures eating our dead bodies. Was said to who? The Prophet said this to who? The medics, the army, the archers, or the people of Medina? What do you think, people? He said that to the archers. The archers, if you remember, the Prophet had placed them, he had placed them on the hill, on the little hill, and that was what he was going to do. He was going to allow the people of Makkah to come head first into the battlefield, and the archers would rain arrows on them, with the back of the army being protected by Uhud and the front of the army being protected by the archers. It was going to negate any tactical advantage that Quraysh had. And that's why the Prophet said, don't move there. It doesn't matter what happens. You remain there and you keep firing your arrows. Very, very clear instructions. But then the question is, the archers, did the archers leave their spots? True or false?
Like, if you see vultures eating our dead bodies, that's like the most cruel thing that would happen that would actually make the archers move.
Well, when the Prophet said that, Abdurrahman, what he meant was, even if we're all dead, don't move.
Don't do anything.
Yeah, stay there even if we're dead. So very, very clear instructions. But the archers, unfortunately, did not follow those instructions. Were these archers Muslims? Like, were they Sahaba?
Yes, they were one of the greatest. But right. Not the greatest.
They were one of the greatest Sahaba. They were participating in the battle with the Prophet. They're, you know, the best of the best. Yet they made a mistake, right?
That costed the Muslims everything.
Yes.
In the battle.
Yes. SubhanAllah. Last question. The reason why the archers left their spots was greed. True. False or true? The correct answer is true. And this is a very interesting point, okay? That these are Sahaba, the best of the best. Yet they're humans. They made a mistake. And they were overcome by things that humans are overcome by. They were overcome by greed. They were overcome by, you know, their own interests. They were like, you know what? Yeah, you know, it's done. It's done. We won already. Their own interests, they put that above the interests of the whole group, and specifically above the command of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is, that's not acceptable, right? Of course. But that's how human beings are. And this is also a lesson we learn from the Battle of Uhud, that as human beings, even the best of the best, right? We are going to be, we're going to make mistakes, and we are prone to our flaws as human beings. We have a flaw as we are, you know, as human beings, we're greedy. We want things for ourselves. That's going to happen to everybody. You have to learn how to overcome those flaws. That is what Islam is there to teach us, along with all the other things, such as the rituals. That is really the lesson, how to become a better person. Okay, podium. Ali, second place. Third place, Isra, second place. And first place is Abdurrahman, mashallah. You guys did awesome. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much. Alhamdulillah. So that was great. Thank you for participating in that. So I'm going to go back to talking about you know, as a recap of the battle, three main lessons that we want to speak about from this lesson. The three main things, excuse me, that we want to talk about today. One thing that I want to point out to you is that today is our last class, actually. Okay, today is our last class. We are going to finish the Ali Imran today. And then on next Saturday, though, at the same time, we have a very special event. Okay, same time we have this event, a lecture called "For the Love of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam" by Sheikh Bilal Ismail. Sheikh Bilal Ismail is going to be joining us from South Africa. Do you know where South Africa is?
Yeah, it's so far away.
It's very far away. Okay, but he'll be joining us, alhamdulillah, live. Just like, you know, we are right now live together on Zoom. He'll be joining us and he is awesome, alhamdulillah. So I'm sure you all will learn a lot and would really, really benefit from his presentation. So we're going to do this, like, instead of me speaking next week, it's going to be him. Then we're going to take a break for a couple of weeks remake the Quran for teens class. You know, we're going to relaunch the class, inshallah, with the study of Surah An-Nisa, the next surah. Okay, but obviously we're going to continue studying, but we're probably going to take a break for a couple of weeks and maybe we'll start a semester in the end or middle of November that goes all the way to the end of the year. Okay, so we're going to probably now, instead of just having a class every week, right, we're going to make it so that every class is like a small semester, maybe 6 weeks, maybe 7 weeks, something like that, maybe 5 weeks, right? So we will announce that, inshallah ta'ala. But after the next week, we have the lecture, and then we will have a break for a couple of weeks just to make sure everything is organized and proper. You know, we have enough ability to, you know, let people know what's happening with our lectures and programs. And then, inshallah, we will relaunch this. And I hope you guys will be there. But today we are doing the last part of Surah Al-Imran, and the three main things that we are going to talk about. First is victory and defeat are part of life. That's the first thing. Okay. Now let's look at an ayah of the Quran that it will explain this to us. Okay. And I need two volunteers, one to read the Arabic and the one to read the English. Okay. Do I have two volunteers?
I'll volunteer.
All right. Thank you, Lurhan. You are going to volunteer for the Arabic part.
Okay.
Somebody for the English part. How about Isra? Isra, are you with me? Isra, you heard? Yeah, Isra. Okay. All right. So, Abdurrahman, can you read this, the Arabic first, and then you will have Isra reading the English. Go ahead.
Okay. إِيَمَسُّكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ.
So, Abdurrahman, one thing. It's إِيَمْسَسْكُمْ.
إِيَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ
نُدَاوِلُهَا
بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ.
Very good, Abdurrahman. This is a very difficult ayah, by the way, to read. So you did a very good job, mashallah. Isra.
If you have suffered a wound, they too have suffered a similar wound. We bring these days to men by turns so that God may know those who believe and choose witnesses from among you. And God does not love the unjust.
Mashallah, very good. Okay. So this ayah, What's the ayah number? People, you with me? What's the ayah number?
Yes, 140.
Ayah number 140. Okay, this is in the middle of the description of what is happening, the battle of Uhud and all that things that are happening. Okay, in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the Prophet ﷺ that victory and defeat are part of life. Okay, this is from ayah number 140. Okay, now what does he say? He says that if you have suffered, they too have suffered a similar wound, right? This is how you know battles are. You know, people are, you are hurt and they will get hurt. This is how things work. Okay, but also know that the world is not just a place. This life is not a place where you will win unconditionally. That doesn't happen. If you're only winning and never losing, it's probably that you're not fighting someone who is that good, right? Very, very rarely do you have someone who doesn't lose anything, right? And you know, if someone continues to live long enough, they probably will suffer defeats, you see, or setbacks. Very rarely is it the case that someone goes through life with no defeats or nothing, okay? This is what Allah is trying to tell the Prophet ﷺ and then all of us by extension, that we bring these days to men by turns. Okay? تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These days, it's like دَاوَلَ يُدَاوِلُ. This is the word here. نُدَاوِلُ. It's to take turns. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a turn to one group one day, one time, and a turn to another group at another time. That is what he's saying. Okay? So sometimes when it's your turn, you'll win. Sometimes when it's someone else's turn, you will lose. That is what he's saying. The point is, you have to learn how to cope with both things. Cope with victory or deal with victory graciously, right? You know, being a gracious, you know, victor, not someone who is, you know, arrogant and people that are winning in life. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, you just logged out for a bit. Like when you said the person.
Yeah. طيب. The other thing is we have to be very much gracious in victory, but also if defeat comes, we should be humble and we should realize this is part of life and there is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us. Okay, now look at what the ayah says. لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. There is some things that are good even in the face of defeat. Okay, what is good in defeat? There's two things that Allah mentions there. Okay, number one, can you point to me number one from the translation? Can someone like maybe highlight what number one could be from this little passage that I have selected here?
God may know those who believe.
Number one is God may know those who believe. That's the first thing. Now, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows already exactly who is a true believer and who is not. Okay. But here, when Allah uses the word liya'lama, it's Allah wants to showcase true faith of the people, right? Your true colors are only exposed when times are tough. That's what happens, right? If when bad times come, that's when a person's true personality reveals itself, right? Would you agree with that? Yes or no?
Sometimes.
Like if everything is good, you're like a nice person, you're chill. But what happens when something bad happens, right? That's when it's a true test of character, right?
Yes. You agree? Yes, I agree.
All right. What about the others? What do people think? Do you agree with this? That bad times, difficult times, defeat is when you really show who you are, like what you're made of, right?
Yes.
Exactly. So what Allah is saying is, لِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He's saying that he wants to showcase the ones who can handle bad times. Show the goodness of their character. And the goodness of their character is coming from what?
بَعْلَمَ
الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا from?
The bad.
No. Does the source of like the reason why they're, you know, good even in bad times, they're stable even when things are unstable, is because they have what? They have iman. That's the point, right? So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to say is, when you are experiencing defeat and you handle that defeat, you know, humbly, and you learn from it, and you don't act irrationally, and you don't blame others, and you don't make the defeat worse afterwards, that is coming from, if a person is able to do that and is able to handle themselves, that is what iman does to a person. Okay, number one. And what's the other good thing that, or other thing that could be a positive in defeat from this ayah? Can someone highlight to me what that would be? That would be, choose witnesses amongst you. Now, this is not a great translation. Witnesses is not an excellent translation here. Shuhada is the word. Shuhada is the word. A shaheed, do you know what a shaheed is? People, are you with me?
The person who witnesses it.
So a person who witnesses, that's a shaheed, correct. But a shaheed is also someone, there's another like meaning to it. Anybody know what a shaheed is? Another meaning for shaheed. Anybody know?
No.
Okay. A shaheed is actually what's called a martyr. Do you know what a martyr means? A martyr is a person who is killed because of their religious or other beliefs. Okay. Now, a martyr is someone who loses their life because of what they believe in. Are you with me? So how is a martyr, someone who loses their life, like the one who's witnessing? The way they are together, like the way they're the same, is because, or the way the reason why the word is similar or is the same for both of those cases is because these people have given the ultimate witness to their iman, right? The ultimate testimony of their faith. Like the ultimate statement that they could make about their belief is that they're like, you know what? We're willing to give up our lives for our, for what we believe in, all right? And that is something, when a person does that, right? Or a person is chosen by Allah to be in that situation, they are actually in a very high ranking place in paradise. Extremely high ranking place in paradise. You see, this is something that is a honor from God. We don't think of it as like a bad thing. We think of it as a good thing. In fact, we believe that these people who are you know, who are killed as martyrs defending their faith are alive in the life of in the life of the grave. They're alive and they're experiencing paradise before even entering paradise. Okay, and then once finally they enter paradise, then their enjoyment is going to be even more. So that is actually what Allah says, that sure, people are going to lose their lives in defeat, but the other side of this is that those who lost their lives are going to have a really high rank in paradise. Now, what's interesting here is, of course, we're not taught to like be reckless with our lives. Don't misunderstand the ayahs as such. Okay, but what the Quran is trying to tell us is that even in defeat, there are positives. There is lessons to be learned from defeat. And there is, even in bad circumstances, there is some good. And that's a very, very important thing for a Muslim. A Muslim is always, always able to know that when there is something bad, something is good there in it. We have to think about it. And over time, it will become clear what's good, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. Right? With difficulty, there is
positivity
or ease. Exactly, right? And he says that twice. And the reason is that in all difficult situations, we have to look for what's positive as well. That is how the believer is supposed to be. Not because this is like a thing that we do because it's something that others are telling us, right? No, we're doing this because that's actually what our religion teaches us to do. So that is the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us. That's the first main thing for today. Victory and defeat are part of life, but defeat, there's lessons. There is even good in defeat, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights that for us. Okay, the second thing is the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the defeat. Are you with me, people? Right?
Yes.
The second thing is, how did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam respond to this defeat? Now, let us recap what happened, right? And I'm going to ask you yes or no, and you tell me if that's the case. Are you with me, people?
Yes.
I need you to type the answers. And Abdurrahman, you could obviously say them too if you like. But the others, you guys need to type the answers. Okay. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam want to go outside of Medina to fight the enemy in an open battlefield? Yes or no?
He didn't want to, but he can't back out from his decision.
Of course. But initially, he was answered yes or no, Abdurrahman. What do you think?
Oh, yes.
The answer would be, I think you mean no, right? He didn't want to go, right?
Yes, he didn't want to go.
Alhamdulillah. So he didn't want to go. All right. But because of others, he had to listen to the people, right? He wanted to, you know, keep his people together, right? So he said, okay, let's go out. All right. That's one thing, okay? Number two. Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he set up the army for success? Yes or no?
His strategy, yes.
Yes.
But his number, no. Like his quantity, no.
This, even without the number, the strategy would have won, right?
Yes.
Because there would have been no way for the opposing larger army to attack them. That was how the Prophet set it up. If everybody followed instructions, the army could not have attacked the Muslims because they were protected from the mountain, from the back, right? And from the front, the archers were just raining arrows on them. Okay? There would have been no way. All right. So that he set up the army for success. Did everybody follow orders? Yes or no?
No,
right? The archers did not follow orders. The archers did not follow the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And was that the cause of defeat? Yes or no?
No.
I mean, the archers not following orders was the cause of defeat, right, Abdurrahman?
Oh, yes. I thought you said like the actual cause of defeat.
Yeah. No, the archers.
Like what caused the archers
What caused them to move was
another thing,
the greed. They wanted the free stuff that the fleeing army was leaving behind. But that move is what cost them the battle, right?
Yes.
Now, was the Prophet ﷺ hurt physically in this battle? Like, did something happen to him, like his face?
Yes. Yes.
Actually, he did. He got hit on the face with like a rock, and then his shield went inside his cheek, and his tooth got broken, chipped. SubhanAllah. And he was bleeding profusely. And they had to take, you know how they would seal a wound back in the day? Yeah, they would take a hot metal, like a sword or something, right? And they would then seal the wound with the hot metal. Imagine that. Like, it's painful as such. It's already bleeding. And then you put like burning metal on it to seal the wound, right? And to kill any of the like bacteria and whatnot. They had to do that to the Prophet ﷺ because his cheek wouldn't stop bleeding. And if they didn't do it, he would just bleed until like he would fall unconscious, right?
Yes.
Did he lose, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, any family members in this battle? Yes or no?
Yes, I think.
What do you think, people?
It depends, because one of the greatest Sahabis died.
Hmm.
And I think that's his family member. I don't know.
Okay. Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib.
Yes, that one.
Uncle of the Prophet, right? He was the Amr Rasul, right? He was the uncle. He was the Prophet's father's brother. And they were very close. They were close in age. This used to happen back in the day. Even today, sometimes you would have like a young uncle who's close to your age, right? But back in the day, it would happen a lot. So he was not too much older than the Prophet. He was, you know, he was an uncle of the Prophet for sure. But they were very close and very tight. And Hamza radiallahu anhu was one of the best like supports the Prophet ever had, right? And then he was martyred in this battle, Hamza radiallahu anhu. All because, all the reasons above that we were just doing yes, no of, right?
If he had
stayed in, that wouldn't have happened, right?
Yes.
If the army, the orders were followed, this wouldn't have happened, right? If, you know, people kept in their places, this wouldn't have happened. Every single step of the way, the Prophet ﷺ was right, and the people, it was their fault. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Like, if they just followed everything he said, none of this would have happened. So does he have reason to be angry? What do you think?
Yes, a lot.
He has a lot of reason to be angry, right? Because they lost, not because of him, but because of them. He got injured because of what these people did. His uncle, very close to him, got killed, martyred because of them. Other people that he was very close with, you know, that were with him since the beginning of his message, were martyred, like Mus'ab ibn Umair, because other people didn't listen. Right, so he had all the reason to be furious. But what do you think? Read for me this from this ayah. I want you to tell me, okay? And then type the answer afterwards. Was the Prophet ﷺ angry and furious with the Sahaba afterwards? Yes or no, people? Tell me. From ayah number 159.
No, he was very merciful.
He was not furious with them. He was actually what? What's the word in the translation? He was
Rahim. Gentle.
He was gentle. Oh, Rahim. Rahmah is there, right? But he was gentle. Very good, Spondon. That's the correct answer. He was that you were gentle with them. This is a very amazing thing. That a person is so much hurt on every level, yet, and it's not because of him, it's other people's fault, right? Clearly. But he is still gentle. That is probably the hardest thing to do in life. Probably the hardest thing to do in life is to be gentle with someone who was at fault and you got hurt because they were at fault. And you have the opportunity to be harsh and to really come down on them. But in that case, if you're gentle, that is the hardest thing to do. And that is how the Prophet ﷺ was. And that's why he was the greatest, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? Because his character was the best, right? That is like the defining thing about the Prophet ﷺ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I'll read the Arabic, I'll have Rehana, would you like to read the English? If you can unmute yourself, please. Are you with me, Rehana?
Yes.
Oh, great. All right. I'm going to read the Arabic and then you read the English. All right. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ Rehana, do you want to start reading, please?
Okay. It is by God's grace that you were gentle with them.
All right. So pause here. Pause here. And I'm going to highlight where you pause next, all right? Mm-hmm.
وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ
For if you had been harsh and hard-hearted, they would surely have deserted you.
Deserted means to what?
Leave.
To leave, right? If you have been harsh and hard-hearted, they would have left you. All right, good.
فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ
So bear with them and pray for forgiveness for them. Take counsel with them in the conduct of affairs.
فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ
Then when you have decided upon a course of action, place your trust in God, for God loves those who place their trust in Him.
Amazing. Thank you very much, Rehana. That was awesome. All right. So this ayah tells us how the Prophet ﷺ reacted, his response to this defeat. Okay, this is ayah number what? 159, okay? The Prophet's response to defeat was, he was gentle. And it was the mercy of Allah, the grace of Allah that allowed him to be gentle, okay? And that is what we should ask Allah for. When we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should ask Allah for his grace, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Oh Allah, I ask you for your grace. We make dua for this because it is by the mercy of Allah, the grace of Allah, the tawfiq of Allah, that we're able to be the best versions of ourselves. And that is what Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ. And he was gentle. And that's why they listened. Had he been harsh, they would not have listened. Had he been hard-hearted, meaning he would have kept like grudges in his heart, he would have reminded them, hey, you know, you last time what happened? Remember last time? Remember? If he was like that, they wouldn't have listened. They would have left him, right? لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ That's a very strong statement by Allah. And this, they are the Sahaba, right? What Allah is saying is even the best of the best, the Sahaba, would not have listened and would not have stuck around if you were harsh and if you were hard-hearted, right? What do you think about the rest of us? Even worse, it would be even quicker. People will leave even quicker. So this is the thing. This is the key idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to teach us through the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is it that we should do? فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ So bear with them. Is actually the right translation would be to forgive them, right? اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ فَاعْفُ عَنِّي Do you guys know that dua?
Yes.
It's a dua for Laylatul Qadr. Okay? Forgive me. فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ Forgive them. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ And pray for forgiveness for them. Ask Allah to forgive them as well. Right, look how amazing this is. Don't, you know, forgive this person and then ask Allah to forgive them, like make dua for them. Right? Like, wow, they have done something and you can blame them for that and you've been hurt by their mistake. But instead of you making dua to hurt them, you make dua that Allah forgives them. Wow, that's just unbelievable, right? And also take counsel with them. Shawirhum fil amr. Counsel means that you ask their opinion. Just because they were wrong the first time, right? They said, oh, you know, we should not leave. We should go out of Makkah and go out of Medina. They were wrong. They should have stayed in Medina, right? But just because someone was wrong the first time doesn't mean that they're always going to be wrong and they'll never learn the lesson. Take their counsel. When you have decided upon a course of action, place your trust in Allah. Don't like, you know, flip-flop. Don't say yes and then no, then say no and then say yes. No, once you made up your mind, tawakkal ala Allah. Place your trust in Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make sure that whatever happens, you will be a better person. Whatever happens, defeat or victory, you will be a better person if you follow this. So this is a very beautiful, very amazing way that the Prophet ﷺ responded to defeat. The last 10 ayat of Surah Ali Imran, and we'll conclude with that. These last 10 ayat, Allah, the Prophet ﷺ said that when they were revealed to him, he said, "Today I have received revelation, the likes of which that if a person could only realize how amazing they are, they would, you know, like how what a tragedy it will be for a person to not realize how great they are." Okay, this is the last 10 ayat of Surah Ali Imran. We're encouraged to memorize them. We're encouraged to understand them. We're encouraged to act upon them. Okay, so I'd like to someone to read for me the translation. Let's have a couple of volunteers who haven't read, perhaps. Anybody?
I can volunteer.
Abdurrahman, thank you very much. Okay, anybody else with Abdurrahman who would like to volunteer as well?
Can I volunteer for the English?
Okay, very good. All right, so what we're going to do is Abdurrahman and Rehana, I'm going to read the Arabic and you guys read the English. So first Abdurrahman, then Rehana, then Abdurrahman, then Rehana. How's that? You guys with me?
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Aspanda, do you want to join in too? Saeed? The English. Okay. So first Abdurrahman, then Rehana, and then Aspanda. Is that okay?
Okay.
All right. Yep. All right. I read the Arabic now. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ
There are signs in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of night and day for people of understanding.
الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ Rehana.
Okay. The whole English?
Just until where I have highlighted, okay?
Okay. Who remember God while standing, sitting, and lying on their sides?
وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ Go ahead.
And who ponder over the creation of the heavens and earth, saying, Lord, you have not created all this without purpose. Glory be to you. Save us from the torment of the fire.
Rabbana innaka man tudkhilin nar faqad akhzaytahu wa ma lidh-dhalimina min ansar.
Lord, those whom you condemn to enter the fire, you have surely brought to disgrace. Wrongdoers will have no supporters.
رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا
Lord, we have heard a caller calling to the true faith saying, Believe in your Lord, and we believed.
رَبَّنَا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ
Lord, forgive us our sins and remove from us our bad deeds and make us die with the virtuous.
ربنا وآتنا ما وعدتنا على رسلك ولا تخزنا يوم القيامة.
Our Lord, grant us what you have promised to us through your messengers, and do not humiliate us on the day of resurrection.
إنك لا تخلف الميعاد.
Surely you never fail to fulfill your promise.
فاستجاب لهم ربهم أني لا أضيع عمل عامل منكم من ذكر أو أنثى.
Their Lord accepted their prayer, saying, I will deny no man or woman among you the reward of their labors.
بعضكم من بعض فالذين هاجروا وأخرجوا من ديارهم وأوذوا في سبيلي وقاتلوا وقتلوا لأكفرن عنهم سيئاتهم.
You are members one of another. I will certainly forgive the sins of those who emigrated and were expelled from their homes, who suffered persecution in my cause and who fought and were killed.
وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ ثَوَابًا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الثَّوَابِ.
I will certainly admit them to gardens through which rivers flow as a reward from God, which God is the best reward.
Awesome. Jazakallah khair. I'm going to stop here with the translation and the reading. Thank you very much to Abdurrahman, Spondent, and Rayhana for reading. This is actually a very beautiful passage. Do you notice how many times Rabbana, 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 Rabbana comes here, right? Our Lord, yeah? It's a very beautiful dua at the very end, huh? It talks about the signs in the creation of the heavens and the earth. People who, the way they understand who Allah is by looking at the creation of Allah. And when they have studied Allah's creation, they know for a fact that this creation of Allah cannot be just by chance. It did not come out of nowhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there has to be someone who has inexhaustible power, who has been there before this world existed, this universe existed, to have brought it into existence. All right? Look at the beautiful part here. When they understand that, they're like, yeah, we believe, O Allah, فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ save us from the fire of hell. Allah, we know that this creation you made, it's not just about this world. There has to be, the way it is telling us that it has to be you have put us here for a purpose. You have a will that you have put us here for, and we have to execute that. And if we do it, then we have reward. And if we don't, then we have punishment. فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, so save us from the torment of hellfire. This is the thing. They don't just look at the stars and be like, oh, cool, right? No, they understand that this whole creation actually is in existence, brought into existence by someone who has willed it and has a will that he wants us to execute, right? And thus the dua. Now check out this ayah, the beginning of the surah, ayah number 7, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ, the people who are firmly grounded in knowledge, right? People who understand the Quran, understand the Sunnah, understand Islam. They're saying, Amanna, Rabbana, Rabbana, right? They're making dua, right? The people who understand Islam are not just the ones who understand it just by studying the texts, just by reading. Their actually understanding is built on, as the last part of the ayah says, by looking at the creation, the universe, the cosmos. Their understanding of Islam is Islam explains reality, and reality explains Islam. Because the reality of the world, the cosmos, it's the one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brought it into existence. And the message of the Islam, the books, the texts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who authored it. It's his speech, you see? So it's got to be the same for both. And that is such a beautiful thing, right? That is the what the surah leaves us with, to think about that. That true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is finding purpose in life, in Islam, and understanding that this all comes together because it's from the same source. And that, once you have understood that, that means you become a better person. You become like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was, you know, who demonstrated all what it means to be the best of humanity. That is actually what the Quran teaches us. That's what Islam teaches us. You internalize the message of Islam and you become certain of it by looking at the amazing world around you and by looking at the ayat of the Quran and understanding them, and the hadith of the Prophet and understanding them. Once that is internalized, now how does that change you? You become a better person, just like the Prophet ﷺ. When he was faced with defeat, how did he respond? When he was faced with people's mistakes, did he get angry and lash out? No, he actually became gentle. That is the lesson for you all, for us all. And that is the end of the surah. Such a powerful surah, such an amazing message. This is why, you know, people's lives were changed by the Quran, right? This is why, you know, it changed people. It transformed people. All right, alhamdulillah. I'm going to stop here. And again, inshallah ta'ala, next week, we have in this time a very special lecture from Sheikh Bilal Ismail, right? Sheikh Bilal Ismail from where? Do you remember from where?
South Africa.
From South Africa, yes, indeed. He will be joining us next week at this time. It's not going to be the same link, actually. It's a different link. But I will share the link with you, inshallah, if you're unable to find it. If not, you can always find it on the London Mosque Facebook page, inshallah. He'll be joining us at that time. And then after that lecture, we'll have a two-week break. And then we will start Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah of Quran, inshallah. Ta'ala. Sounds good, everybody?
Yes.
All right. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khairan. Thank you very much for coming out. I really appreciate you all. And I will see you all, inshallah, next week for the special lecture. And then after that, we'll reconvene for our study of Surah An-Nisa. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.